This is Dude to Bet Sports.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Dude to Bet Sports. We're back at you for another week, and we have a lot of topics to talk about today, just not, you know, a major topic. So it's going to be a kind of a jam-packed show. Papa Dude, we're back. How you feeling today? You ready to rock and roll?
Let's do it. We're going to go over baseball, hockey, and the NBA. We're
getting tired right already.
Into that. We're after it. We got a little bit of college basketball to talk about. And good old OJ as well.
So. Well, let's start with good old OJ, I guess. I didn't know anything was wrong with him. I'll be honest. I'm not on the OJ Simpson beat, but no. Did you know he had cancer?
I didn't know. Something about on Twitter a while back that he wasn't doing very good. So,
okay.
Yes, I did know a little bit.
I
didn't know it was extreme. Or, you know, I didn't follow it, obviously, because he's kind of old news.
When it comes to him, like, how do you even – I mean, because for a big part of people's lives – he was, you know, like the jolly guy that was playing a Naked Gun, you know, and he, of course, a great running back. Like, you know, Chris texted me today and he's like, you don't remember, but man, he was really something. But it's like, I don't know. You just really can't separate what happened versus anything else.
No, I'll never forget, you know, I remember when it all broke and the image of him was just, you know, he was the golden boy. He was, you know, he was always smiling and friendly. Even when he was a player and then when he went on to commercials and some movies and mostly commercials. I think he did some analyst work as well. He was always just this jolly guy, you know, happy, had it all, handsome, whatever. And then boom. All that came out. It was hard to believe. I was asking, I subbed, of course, today, and I was asking some kids if they knew who he was. And, I mean, this was 1994, I think, whenever this happened. And,
yeah,
of course, they didn't. But they did. They know who O.J. Simpson is. Even today, they don't remember him for anything else than what happened. But they did know who he was. And some of them did know that he had died. So, yeah, I remember watching the trial. We would sit and watch the trial, and I can remember I was teaching school and they announced the verdict on TV live, and it was just stunning to most of us, the verdict.
I remember, you know, let's see, I would have been about 10 or 11 years old. Yeah. I remember when we first heard about it, we're like, well, there's no way that's true. Like, it came across as like, you know, his wife and somebody else got murdered and they're saying it might be him, but there's no way. And before we knew the details, everybody in the country was just like, no, there's no way he did that. That's crazy. Yeah. And then like you go 3-4 days later and it's like, oh gosh. And then he's him and Al Collins or Collins, whatever the hell his name is, was out on the Bronco and it stopped the whole world. Watch that for like 2 hours, you know? And
I was watching an NBA game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was the finals and it was, I believe it was the Knicks and the Rockets, and they kept interrupting the NBA game, showing the chase, you know, and the chase was much more interesting than the NBA game was.
I remember that like it was yesterday too. That chase was incredible, and then the trial was just a circus. That was reality television. That was the start of reality television, basically.
It turned into a racial thing, and you know, and he got like, despite the overwhelming evidence, he was found not guilty.
Right.
And it was shocking. Yeah. And then instead of just riding off to the sunset, into the sunset, you know, I'm trying to stay incognito, he gets in trouble again and ends up spending some time in prison, I think. And he got let out. And he never could quite keep his mouth shut. But anyway, that's really a sad story, to be honest.
Yeah, it is all the way around. It is just it's sad for a lot of reasons, but Yeah. Rest in purgatory. Yeah.
I know he was an OJ fan because he played for USC, and I didn't like the USC back then. I just didn't. And so I never did. I mean, he's a great player, one of the best I ever saw. Mm-hmm. And then he played for the Bills, and, you know, they weren't a household name. And so, you know, I never was a huge fan of his. And but then he went into the movies and the commercials and all that, and everybody loved him. Everybody.
Yeah. John White texted us this morning when it happened, and he John White, I swear, he's always connected somehow.
Yeah.
He said, well, the funny thing is my dentist is three blocks from that house. And oh, he said, well, before those murders happened, I parked right next to that house most times when I went to the dentist.
Really?
And he said, now you can't, there's no parking there. So he said, I have to park about a block further down. But he said, yeah, for the longest time, I would park right by that house and you'd go to the dentist. So I thought, man, that's really unbelievable. You know,
it was
so, yeah, it's pretty crazy, pretty crazy. But anyway, yeah, that was definitely a surprise today. So
yeah,
we will see. Yeah. Let's put a cap on the NCAA tournament here.
Okay.
Both men's and women's. We'll start men's. End of the day, and here comes Rob. And Rob, sorry that Purdue couldn't get it done, but end of the day, nobody was beating Connecticut. No. I mean, I thought Purdue kind of played them pretty well there for a while, kind of like Alabama. And then the Connecticut's just too darn good.
This is to me, it's as dominant a performance for six games as I've seen. They never had a sweat. They didn't have to worry about anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Purdue's dadgum good. And they just kind of controlled them the whole game. And they are really, really good. They're solid. They can defend you. They're physical. They can score. They have it all. And to go through six games in the NCAA tournament and you never have a scare, that's pretty rare. And they did. And that's two in a row now. And, you know, this guy's doing a great job up there. They are very, very good.
Yeah. And I kind of agree with – we got two Robs at once here, but I kind of agree that that Alabama game, I never really thought UConn was going to lose, but the doubt was at least in the realm of maybe happening.
Yeah.
This Purdue game – and again, I'm not saying anything bad about any of these teams. I just think UConn was great, but the Purdue game just didn't really ever feel like they were going to beat them.
No.
Yeah.
No, I didn't think Purdue played poorly. They just couldn't match them. They could not. And it was a great performance. And boy, there's just no doubt who the best team in the country is.
Yeah. No, there's really just no doubt about it. Two straight years now, they have been the absolute best.
Yep.
Shoddy says 7 degrees of John White is real. CJ Stroud's grandmother cuts John White's hair. So there's another one for you. I mean, the guy just gets his hair cut and he's a legend. That is ridiculous. All right. Big news off the court after, well, I guess it wasn't after. It was like right around the national championship game. Cal those hogs, Shoddy says. John Calipari leaves Kentucky for Arkansas, takes a pay cut when doing so. How about that? How shocked you were that John Calipari, now the head coach at Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really shocked he left, I guess, but I thought he would get more money. It kind of sounds like they ran him off, kind of. Or he was kind of upset about something. I don't know. He'll do fine at Arkansas. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He'll recruit well. He has to start completely over. He has no players that I've heard. I think almost all of them left.
All gone. Yep.
That's not unusual, though, because there's a lot of schools this happens to.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the recruiting guru of recruiting guys for 1 year. That's nothing new. But, you know, it's been a while since he's been really good at Kentucky. And you got to ask yourself, has he lost his touch a little bit? I don't know. I think he's a great coach. And the thing I always liked about him, and still does, when you go out and you recruit these one-and-done guys, and they're all great players, he always got them to play together and play hard. And there was no selfishness in I thought that was odd that he could do that because these guys were only there for 1 year because they had to be. And they all wanted the ball, you know, they wanted to be stars, but he got them to play together and they played well defensively. I thought that was very, that shows he's a good coach. Be interesting to see what he brings to Arkansas. It really will.
Yeah, I'll be fascinated. He is a hero right now. Let me tell you, they adore this guy. They were so mad at Eric Musselman for leaving. Yeah. And I think Musselman was one of those guys, when he's your coach, you love him. And when he's gone, you cannot stand him, you know? And so now you flip to, we can't stand him and he's a jerk. And then you get coach. And then you're thinking that Arkansas fan base, like I was talking to Shoddy over the weekend there. And she's like, I don't know, like the Fayetteville High School coach might want it. Like that was where their mind was. Like, nope, we're not going to get somebody. And then you get Coach Cal and everybody's like, oh my God, this guy's a, you know, here he is, the Messiah, you know. So anyway, so on the Kentucky side of it, because I think we know Arkansas is going to be good with Coach Cal. Who knows? But they're going
to
be good.
That's the thing. He's not going to a place that's never been good.
They were bad this year, but before they've been
pretty solid for a long time.
Now, let's talk about what Miranda's asking here. Who's going to be the next head coach at Kentucky? They've been turned down twice. Mark Pope, the head coach at BYU, is the big rumor right now. They think he's going to be the head coach at Kentucky. So Mark Pope was at BYU. They've been very good. This is a very different recruiting situation. He's going to have to bring in very different players at Kentucky to satisfy that fan base. But as of right now, that's what we've heard.
So who has turned it down? Billy Donovan, is that who they're talking about? Or
Scott Drew was one that I think realistically turned it down. Like, I think they kind of thought they might have a chance for him, and he definitely turned it down. Billy Donovan, that was more of a – and Hurley at UConn, that was more of a
– Hurley, well
– that wasn't going to happen. But I do think Scott Drew was a legitimate candidate that would have been great there, by the way.
Yeah, he would. But he's got a pretty good gig at Baylor. Why the heck would he want? You know, he's got a great gig at Baylor, and he doesn't have pressure on him. You go to Kentucky, you've got all kinds of pressure on you.
Yeah,
it's not good enough to make the tournament and win a couple of games and win 20, 25 games every year like it is at Baylor.
Curtis Manilow. By the way, met Curtis, Papa Dude. Met him this weekend. Great guy. Had a lot of fun hanging out with you, bud. But anyway, he said, Mark Pope, this is great. Mark Pope is that girl you can text any time of night and you'll know you'll get a response. Kentucky isn't at that level of ready to settle yet.
So I don't think it's a very big name either.
I don't think Rick Pitino's coming back.
No, I don't. I think Rick Pitino is an Eastern guy, and he's at St. John's. And I think he's trying to build that back to where it was back in the 80s.
Yeah.
I do. And I think he's probably pretty happy where he's at. But how good is the Kentucky job? That's the thing that they haven't won in quite a while.
Not to their level that they think they should.
And Dan Hurley is not going to leave. Mm-mm. Why would you leave UConn when you've won back-to-back national? You're better than Kentucky right now.
Yeah.
And in this, you know, this age of college basketball now where you have a new team every year, I don't know that any – I just don't know that Kentucky's that great a job. I don't. And, obviously people are not knocking down the door to get it. So –
Yeah,
I mean, this guy at BYU is a good coach, and he knows what he's doing. But Kentucky's a different animal. They don't, like I said, you gotta be in the Final Four to have a great season, and they've not been in the Final Four for quite a while. They weren't very good this year, and I don't know how good a job that is right now.
Do you agree with Miranda here? She said Arkansas's cheer is very cringe. I actually text my cousin, and I said, when they were calling the Hogs, I said, and here's the moment Calipari is regretting ever coming. What did you think about? What do you think about that? Do you like calling the Hogs?
I don't want to piss anybody from Arkansas off, but I've always thought it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. But I'm not an Arkansas fan, and I guess some of the shit we do at OU is just as stupid, I think. One side of the stadium yelling Boomer and the other side yelling Sooner is pretty stupid too. But yeah, I think it's pretty cringeworthy. I've always thought it is. But
by the way, no, I haven't told him, Curtis, because we're not getting those tickets. I guarantee you that's not going to happen. So, by the way, Curtis is an Ole Miss season ticket holder. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think it's kind of, it makes me cringe a little. I always kind of think it's silly, but
I think a lot of the colleges have weird ones, and they're not weird to their school, but they are weird to everybody outside of their school.
Yeah, it's just kind of dumb to call the Hogs. We all think that's a little silly, but
it's dumb.
They've done it for a million years, and you know what? That's what they do, and that's their tradition. And you know, the rest of us, like you said, thinks it's a little weird, but
yeah,
they love it, and that's their fan base, and that's what they do, and they do have loyal fans. That's for sure.
No doubt. I was on Sharp Money just a while ago, and they asked me about the Arkansas situation during one of the commercial breaks. I was talking about it, and they were like, "Well, like, not basically like why?" And I was like, "Well, it's an hour and a half, and I can be at the stadium." And they're like, "Oh man, well, we're going to ask you about this." And what I told them is, I said, "You know, this Arkansas fan base is insane in a good way. They're rabid as hell." And I said, "If you give them something to get excited about, they are going to go apeshit over this, you know?" So I said, they're already there. Like, they're filling up the arena for the press conference. Like, it's crazy what's happening. So
when you look at them, they haven't, okay. Now in basketball, they won a national championship back in the 90s, I think. And they've been really solid over the years. Football, they have not been very good.
No.
Yet, you know, at the start of the season, they're packing that place.
Yeah.
And they may, even this year, they were still going to the games. My brother, your uncle, goes, and I would say, "What was the crowd like?" And he said, "It was better than you would think." Mm-hmm. And so it's a fan base that's very, very loyal, that really they haven't got a lot of national championships under their belt like some places do. It's easy to be loyal at Alabama and those kind of places, but it's a great fan base. He will get them rallied around him. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you, though, most of them hated him until he took the job.
Shai says, "Bless Dave Van Horn." And that's just another thing. Like, you know, that's the baseball coach at Arkansas. And they're nuts about it because they're good and it's fun, you know?
Oh, they pack the baseball stadium. Softball team's pretty good. I mean, we're real close to there, and I sure wish OU was there
as
close as this, because I would go to a lot more things than I do. Because, like you say, it's an hour and a half from here, and it's a straight shot, easy drive to get down there now that they have built some bypasses and things.
Yep.
But it's a beautiful campus, and I think Calipari needed to change, and I think he thought, hey, this may be a good place to ride it out and see if we can win.
Yeah, no, for sure. Curtis said Arkansas football fans are so depressed. They thought KJ Jefferson was good. The problem is, for their quarterbacks over the last however many years, he was good, but he just wasn't good compared to everybody else out there. So
It's hard when you don't have that kind of quarterback to win in the SEC. You got to have somebody that's pretty dang good.
Yeah.
It's hard.
All right. Well, okay. Well, we filled 20 minutes. We've done that. They did good. Blinkers off coming up at 6. So we only got, you know, 20, 25, 30 minutes left to fill. I think we're doing very, very good. I'll let
By the way.
Yes.
Curtis mentioned the hotty toddy, God Almighty, that they say it.
Right.
Mississippi. Yeah. That might be worse than calling the Hogs. I that's pretty dumb too.
Again, though, that's just that Boomer Sooner, hottie top, all this crap. It's
all
crazy.
All of it's dumb. It's
good for Texas fight.
Fan base does. You know? Yeah.
Oh, we didn't talk about the girls or the women's basketball.
Yeah.
Better ratings than the men, number one. Let's talk about that.
And it was played in the afternoon as well.
Yep.
On Sunday.
I text you, and I'm not old, but I'm not young, and I text you, and I was like, this men's game is on too damn late.
Oh,
like,
ridiculous.
Crazy. But anyway, talking about the women's game, kind of similar, right? You had the great story in Caitlin Clark, but South Carolina just too good, just like UConn and the men's, just too good. They couldn't.
I thought the first half of that game was as good as I've seen.
Yeah,
I don't know how Iowa could have played any better.
Yeah,
And they were behind. They had led the entire half, and they lost the lead right there in the last minute of the first half. And it was simply a fact that South Carolina was just too big, and they had too many athletes, and they couldn't rebound with them. They just simply could not rebound, and they got killed on the offensive boards. It hurt them badly. But South Carolina is – you could just – the thing I liked about them, Iowa came out on fire, jumped out to a 20-9 lead. They didn't call time – South Carolina didn't call timeout. They just weathered it. They just hung in there, and they just kept chipping away and chipping away. Clark was unbelievable in the first period, but they shut her down after that. And I thought the other Iowa girls played great. I did. They have nothing to hang their heads on. They just got beat by a machine.
Yeah. I was driving home, but listening to it on the radio, and I was like, I can't remember the girl's name from Iowa. I was like, man, she's making all kinds of shots, keeping them in the game. But yeah. You know, it was, I think it's great that it got the attention that it got.
It did.
I, you know, your nieces, my cousins, which, you know, I call them my cousins. They're much closer than a cousin to me. And, you know, to see the women's sport getting that notoriety and having those two and how fired up they are about all of it all the time, it's really good to see. And Caitlin Clark was a great story. That got people involved. And man, you just have to tip your hat to her.
I think that she's the story, and that's why it gained the notoriety that it did.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. A player like that doesn't come along very often.
And I do think it's interesting because I've heard a lot of people talk that's in women's college basketball talk, maybe not down on Caitlin Clark, but, oh, she's not that good, whatever. It is really crazy. Like, it's kind of like when Tiger Woods got involved with golf. Look, him being this popular is good for all of us. And the same way with Caitlin Clark, her, you know, grabbing that women's basketball team there at Iowa and making that women's game in general more popular, that's good for every, you know, women's basketball player out there. So
she's a great player.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about them, they played so hard.
Yep.
And beat some teams they probably weren't as good at and they just grabbed the attention. So the key is going to be, can they build on that momentum? Can the women's game build on that momentum? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I got interested in it, and a lot of people got bored with the women's game when UConn was killing everybody all the time. I thought that was neat. I thought that was, I wanted to watch. Mm-hmm. And I always thought to myself, my God, what must it be like to be a UConn fan? Yep. You don't ever lose. And what would that be like? And I kind of became a fan of them, and I still am. So I started watching it then. But are we going to tune in next year if South Carolina continues to dominate like they are? Who's going to step up? Who's going to be that star that grabs our attention? I don't know.
That'll be the big question. Yeah. We were at we came back. That was what night was their Final Four? That's Friday night. Was the
Final Four? Yeah.
Yeah. The women, they played Friday, right? Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went out to eat, and then we came back to the hotel. And of course, you know, there's five or six of us. Like, we're not going to go to bed. We'll go to the hotel bar there. And I bet there was 20 people all watching that game. And
yeah.
I know you're thinking, well, that's not very many. Well, it was everybody that was at the hotel bar. They were all watching it and into the game. And it was Iowa and UConn. So, I mean,
Rob,
this would be interesting, too. Were you going to say this? Because this could be interesting, too.
Yeah.
Okay, college basketball, Caitlin Clark obviously gone. Will they follow Caitlin Clark to the WNBA? I feel like. Now, we haven't had a player this popular, but we've had popular players, and I don't feel like that transition has happened. What do you think about this one?
No, because the NBA's played in the wrong time of the year. It's not basketball season. I think you're right.
Yeah.
They need to change that. It's not basketball season. Nobody watches basketball that time of the year. And no, I don't think – I just don't – Okay, so the WNBA will be played when the NBA playoffs are going on, I think. Doesn't it start here in just a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
I think it does.
I don't know.
And it doesn't last very long.
I don't know.
I'm pretty ignorant.
I think it ends. I think you're right. I think it ends in June, doesn't it? Does it not?
I think it's a short season. It's in the wrong time of the year.
I know the team in Las Vegas was playing in May because I was out there and they were playing, but I don't know when it ends.
It doesn't last too long. It's in the summer, I think, sometime. And it's just not basketball time. And I don't know. Okay, Curtis says they're usually only up against Major League Baseball. Well, that's in the summer. And that's not good. It's just not.
Let me look here. Because, again, I mean, you could tell. We watch college women's basketball, the tournament at least, but I don't have, we don't have a clue. Let's see. It looks like it starts May 3rd.
May 3rd?
They got games all the way into September.
Oh, it does.
You're talking about September, October, this thing ends.
Yeah. I won't follow her to the WNBA.
Okay. The first season, I clicked on the Fever. Their first game, which I don't even know who they are, but their first game is 5/14.
Okay.
So they get two preseason games, and the first game's 5/14. And so they're going to play May through middle of September, and I'm guessing their playoffs will start and be over by like October.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it is a longer season, I thought. I won't get into it. I never have. And it's kind of like college basketball. A lot of people don't follow those players into the NBA that much either.
Not really. No, it's weird. Yeah.
You either like the NBA or you don't.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that like the NBA don't like college basketball. So.
Right. I think you're right. I think you're one or the other when it comes to that. I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, that is 100% what he's saying. Right. Him not liking the WNBA means that he thinks the men's sports are superior.
No, I'm not saying that at all because I have become a women's basketball fan, not only at this level, but at the D2 where our local college is. I think the girls' game in basketball is much more exciting than the women's or the men's. The men's game is all one-on-one athleticism.
Yeah.
These games still set screens. They run picks. They run plays. They do things together as a team.
I was going to say, I can vouch for him. He goes to every one of the women's games around here. So,
and I'm a big women's softball fan. I love it mainly because OU is really good, but I get behind it, but it's fun to watch. And so,
okay. Well,
I think overall, Miranda, facts are facts. Men's sports are watched more than women's, but the women have come a long way.
Yeah, a long way. I never would have thought they would have outdraw the men's, and they did. And no. I think that's
especially with their game at 3:00 on a Sunday afternoon.
I know. Yeah, that's sat there and said, "Boy, that's the death time." You know, why would you do that? But shit, it worked out just fine.
And I'll say this too: I looked way more. I was looking a lot more, wanting to watch the Final Four of the women's a lot more than I was the men's. I had a lot more interest in the women's this year. South Carolina was a story.
Yeah.
And then UConn and Iowa going head to head was a story.
I had a lot of interest in the national championship game on the men's side because I thought that was going to be really interesting. But as a whole, the Elite Eight, Final Four, women's side. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, pick your poison here. I've got NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball pulled up. Okay. Which, knowing we may only get to two of them, so which one do you want to start with?
We'll get to all three.
Okay, what do you want to start with?
Okay, let's do the ones that are winding down. If we're going to skip one, let's do baseball.
Okay.
Because they're just getting started.
Do we start with basketball?
I guess.
Okay, take it away because I haven't watched one NBA game all year. I haven't watched one game all year. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but you kind of know who's good.
No, I'm going to be – I will be very honest with everybody right now.
Okay.
I don't know any player on any team.
Okay. This won't take too long then.
I have never watched a game. I have not watched 1 second of an NBA game all year. Swear to God.
Yeah. I think of the three sports, then the NHL will take us longer than the other two, because I know a little bit about the NHL as well. So as you do.
Okay.
But probably more people are interested in the NBA. You've got the East up there. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any doubt Boston's better than anyone else, and it's not close. But playoffs are weird, and things happen sometimes, but I don't see anybody making a run at the Celtics. You just look. They're 13 and a half games better than anybody else in the league. And in basketball, that means something. Not so much in hockey, but it does basketball. So it's going to be a major upset in my eyes if they don't get out of those playoffs, because there just isn't anybody. You got Milwaukee. They're up and down, up and down. The Knicks, you just go through those teams. Look at their records. Yeah. They're not that good. And the team that I would fear the most is that number seven, the 76ers, because they have played a long stretch of their season with Embiid hurt. And they were the second best team when he went down, and they went through like a 5-20 thing. So then you kind of say to yourself, well, when you got a team that depends on one guy that much, how are they going to beat a team like Boston?
So let me ask you this, and this again, coming from a guy that has not watched 1 second this year, but I'll watch the playoffs, and I watched the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. I look at this and go, okay, well, clearly Boston is very good, obviously. But I've watched them get beat, you know, in the playoffs when maybe they shouldn't. Why can't the Bucks beat them? Is kind of my question.
Well, they can.
I'm basing the Bucks off past years. I haven't even watched them, but I look at this and go, well, maybe the Bucks can't. I wouldn't fear the Knicks, the Cavs. I haven't watched them again, but I haven't fear any of these teams except for the Bucks.
Here's what worries me about the Bucks. They had to make a coaching change.
Okay,
that tells me something screwy with the personnel on the Bucks, because they had a really good record when they made the coaching change, and they haven't been a damn bit better since they made the coaching change, and they probably are a little worse than they were when they made the coaching change. That spells trouble to me. I don't know if they can make a serious run. They're not playing very well right now. Giannis is hurt. He's up and down. And so don't know how serious his injury is. He just heard it the other day. So they could beat him if he is healthy and they turn it on and get it all together. Sure, they could beat him. The team I would fear the most is the Sixers. The Sixers have got to somehow get in that sixth seed because they're in the play-in at the moment.
Right.
They're playing pretty well since he's come back. I think they're undefeated. I think they're 4-0. He's unstoppable. He makes them good. And like I say, they were the second best team in the East when he went down, and they just imploded. They would be the team I think that's a chance to beat Boston, but they got to get through that play-in first.
Before we go to the West, Rob says Orlando, a year or two away from contending, most upside.
Yeah, they're very young.
Who's on Orlando that I should know?
Couldn't tell you.
I don't know anybody on Orlando. Listen,
I pick them every day, but I don't watch much of it. And I just kind of, you know, it's one of those things with the NBA, and I do pretty well with it. It's trends. You just kind of go along with it, you know.
Yeah.
I watch more of the Western Conference because of the Oklahoma City Thunder than I do the East.
All right, well, let's go to the West right now, and you see the Nuggets are ahead with the T-Wolves and the Thunder right behind Shaq and Penny. Exactly. That's when I think of the Magic, I think of Shaq and Penny. The Thunder and the T-Wolves, a game behind there. They're all still battling for that final spot. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you think about the West. You said you've seen these teams a little bit more.
Yeah, this one is solid.
It seems
These teams, there could be some upsets.
Well, and from the outside looking in, I look down and see the Golden State Warriors are the 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's shocking to me as somebody that hasn't watched.
Well, they've had all kinds of injuries and they're getting old. They're not what they were, but when they shoot the ball well, they can beat anybody. Mm-hmm. They're dangerous. And the way that the playoffs are set up, they're going to play the Lakers right now first. And one of them will be eliminated after one game. Now, though, the Lakers are only a half a game behind the Kings, and they have a legitimate shot to get up to the eight, probably won't catch the Suns. Golden State could catch the Lakers, and Golden State can beat the Lakers. The Lakers are one of those teams that, up against certain teams, they don't do well, and then other teams, they dominate. For example, all of the Thunder fans are hoping they don't get up against the Lakers because they struggle with them. Lakers are too physical for them. So, yeah, you're right. You got two pretty good teams with some players that are pretty good at that 9 and 10 spot. And neither, I don't think any, either one of them is going to get up to 6. The Suns could still get up into the 6 spot. They're only a half a game behind the Pelicans. And New Orleans is up and down. The team that's the hottest right now is Dallas. They're playing really, really well. And they got some stars. Luka, when he's on, he's as good as anybody.
Yep.
That's a scary team. I like the Nuggets the best. I think that overall they're the best team. And I think it's important if they get that one seed because that will keep them away from the 2 and the 3. Mm-hmm. They won't have to play them to the finals. And see that they're a game ahead. I think they're gonna hang on and get that number one seed. Oklahoma City needs to get the 2. Mm-hmm. And the reason they need to get to 2 is they'll have home court all the way through the conference playoffs until the last round. If you get the 3 seed, you don't, unless somebody gets upset and screws up all the seeds. I think now they wrap it up. Their schedule's tough, but both of these games are at home. They got Milwaukee next. Are you going to that game? Is that the one you're going to?
I am going to the last game.
Okay, and that's Dallas.
Yeah.
Those are two really tough teams.
I know.
Have to be.
So now let me ask you, as I will become a Thunder fan, a fake Thunder fan on Sunday, and then until they get beat, I'll act like I'm a Thunder fan and watch them. Mm-hmm. Now, the question I have is, legitimately, you've watched them all year. Mm-hmm. My first game will be Sunday. So legitimately, when I become my fake Thunder fan and put on the one hoodie that I own,
which is one more than I own.
Well, yeah, but you're a fan. You're way more
of a fan. I do watch them. I like to watch them.
What chances do the Thunder actually have? I mean, I know they are much better than they were, but can they actually make a run?
I don't give them much of a chance. Like, I do think they can win 2 rounds.
Okay.
The thing with the Thunder, they have to shoot the ball well.
Yeah.
They can't win if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And Denver can bully him around a little bit. I don't think Minnesota. I can see Minnesota getting upset.
Okay.
In first, say they play Phoenix. Minnesota plays Phoenix first. I think Phoenix can beat them.
So say the Thunder plays the Pelicans first.
I think they
is can that going to be Pelicans. Scary? Can they beat the Pelicans?
They'll lose a game or two. Yes.
Okay. And you think they can beat – so the Nuggets are the team you're really afraid of.
I think they're the team to beat. I think Dallas right now will beat the Clippers.
Okay.
I never pick the Clippers.
Do you think Dallas can challenge the Nuggets or no?
They can, yeah. They're playing great. Yeah. They're on a roll. The Nuggets are so tough at home. They're 33-8. Huge win for them last night. They played Minnesota in Denver last night. That was one of my best bets, and I couldn't stay awake. And I didn't think they were going to win that game when I went to bed. And they ended up winning by, I think, 9. Played great second half. Huge win. It's a home game. You got to beat Minnesota. They did. They may have won the division winning that game.
Yeah.
So I like them the best. They're the defending champs. And I think they'll come. I mean, it's going to be tough to come out of there because you got a Phoenix team down there at number 7 that has been injured. If they're healthy and they got a healthy Durant and Devin Booker's healthy, I would not want to play them because they are dangerous. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they're aging. They've been hurt all year. I don't know whether they can get through these physical playoffs and not get somebody hurt, banged up.
Yeah. Well, so all right. I think
Boston is solid to pick out of the East. The West is a little bit more tricky. I would go ahead and stay chalky and take the Nuggets because I think overall they're the best team. And then so, if in the finals, it's hard to pick.
I think, again, somebody hasn't watched the game. I think the Nuggets will beat the Celtics if it comes to that. I think the Nuggets will beat them.
They might.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to the NHL. I think
Boston's going to have the easier way to get through the playoffs. They may be a little more rested than that.
That's true too. Yeah, that's true too.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right, NHL. It's almost money-making season in the NHL. Because here's what you're going to do. Minus, and we'll point this out maybe next week when we actually know the matchups. Minus one or two matchups, bet the underdog every night. You're going to win. Because this is going to be out of control nuts. It's so crazy. We almost have things locked down in the East. You're basically looking at the Capitals, the Penguins, the Detroit Red Wings, Philadelphia Flyers, those teams all battling for one spot. I think the Islanders are going to be safe. They got hot. They're going to be safe. I'm shocked, but they are.
Yeah.
This last spot probably doesn't matter like it did last year. Florida got the last spot in the East last year, and they were killers. Like, they were playing great.
Yep.
These teams are kind of stumbling into this last one. So doesn't really mean a whole lot. Who do you think is going to get it though? I'm not sure.
Well, you watch it more than I do. I think the Pittsburgh Penguins are red hot. I had them buried a week ago.
I didn't have them 6 feet under. I had them like 60 feet under. I thought they were done.
Yeah.
They play the Red Wings tonight. They win. I mean, you know, they might. They might make it.
Well, you know, tonight, everybody plays everybody. I mean, this is a really must-see TV for hockey tonight. Because you got the Islanders playing Montreal.
Yep.
That's a game they have to win.
Have to win.
The Islanders, help me here. I think they're playing the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Wait, the Islanders tonight, you're saying?
Yeah.
No, you said the island. So hold on, let me read them off because there's three that make sense here. Yeah. Let me read them off so we don't
get any confusion. I did all this morning.
Okay, so here's what's going to happen tonight. The Capitals are playing the Sabres, but it's on the road. So that's a very iffy game. The Flyers are on the road against the Rangers. That's a really tough game.
The Red Wings are on the road against
the Penguins. Really tough game.
There's the big one.
Yes, and then the Islanders playing the Canadiens, and it's in New York. So, I mean, the Islanders have to win tonight. I mean, you cannot drop that game.
No, you got to win that one. That gets you up to 89 points with three games left.
The Capitals and the Sabres crushed the Capitals the last time they were in Buffalo. But Washington, I mean, the Sabres are eliminated. They need to win tonight. They should win that game.
The Capitals are coming off a very impressive win in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
A must win that moved them a point ahead. I think the loser of the Penguins Red Wings game tonight, provided that Washington wins, that is a deadly loss for the loser of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And the game's in Pittsburgh. And to me, they got to win this game.
They do.
And if they do, I think, you know, they've got a real shot to get in there and edge it out. Because I think all of these teams have four games left. Mm-hmm. Almost all of them do.
Yep, they do.
The Flyers have three. Now, I think the Flyers are done.
They're done.
Yeah. They've lost eight in a row, I think I read this morning, or nine in a row.
Yep.
The
Flyers overachieved all year.
They did.
They're not great.
Finally hit them.
Yeah.
And now they're done. So,
yeah.
I think they're out of it. Now, I'm with you. If the Islanders win tonight, I think they're going to be in.
Yep.
But they're the type of team that could lose.
Oh, yeah.
Because like you said, have these teams are real good.
Well, what you have here, you've got six teams in this East that they could beat anybody on a given night. The Bruins, the Panthers, the Leafs, the Rangers, the Hurricanes, and I will say the Tampa Bay Lightning, mm-hmm. who are in a wild card spot. But beating them is not going to be easy. Those six teams are good. Then you got the Islanders and whoever else qualifies. It's probably stay away from them a little bit. I don't think they're going to be able to do much.
Because, okay, the way this works, the way I understand it, Boston in the first round, if things ended today, would play the Lightning.
Yes, and that is not going
to
be easy.
How would you like to play the Lightning in the first round?
That's not going to be easy. That's going to be very difficult. That is very difficult.
That's a playoff-tested team.
Yep.
That's playing pretty well right now. Yep. That would be tough. And then you'd have the Rangers playing the other wild card team.
And that will not be so difficult.
Probably, no. And then you got the Panthers against the Islanders.
No, Panthers would play the Leafs. The Panthers would play the Leafs.
Yeah, it's Carolina against the Islanders.
Yes, Carolina against the Islanders. Yeah.
So, you know, to me, Carolina should beat the Islanders. That should be one that's not too difficult. The Rangers should win theirs.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two, that Florida-Toronto, that is going to be something. You know, Toronto is in it. They're playing really well. And they're in a good spot this year because they're not a one or a two like they've been.
Yeah.
They'll be underdogs in that series. That might help them.
They're dangerous offensively, but they are pretty bad on defense. And I think that's going to
be the difference.
Yeah.
Florida can clamp you down. Florida will clamp you down.
For sure.
That's going to be a great series, though. And then the Boston-Tampa one will be two. And then you get to the next round. Good luck.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. Now, we'll go to the West here because everything's locked up but one spot, basically, and it's that last wild card spot / last spot in the Pacific. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a battle there. You know, the Blues are not going to make it, I don't think. They're going to need a ton of luck. But you look at this Blues team. They're 42-32-5, 89 points. Let's say they win two more. They hit 93 points. That's a really good season not to make the playoffs. So
it is. They've overachieved, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing that when you and I have talked about it. They had three games with San Jose.
Yep.
6 points. They got one. The worst team in the league by a long shot is San Jose. You play them three times and you get 1 point out of six possible points. Say you get five.
You're in.
You're in the playoffs at the moment.
Yep.
I mean, you got some tough games left that you would have to win. They have no excuse. I mean, they just blew it. But they're not good enough. That's the bottom line.
No, they're not. They're not. If you look, I think how it is set right here is how it's going to probably finish.
Probably.
So scroll down, put the Blues out of the equation. These are where this is going to be. I can't even describe how tough this is going to be for teams. Vancouver, and who's had a great season.
Yeah.
They're going to play Nashville right out of the gate.
I know. I'm struggling a little bit right now.
I'll probably play Nashville every game of that series. Yeah.
No.
Edmonton and LA is going to be a war.
Oh, yeah.
Contrast and styles.
Yeah.
How about Dallas? They're the number one team in the Western Conference.
You're going to play Vegas.
You're going to start off with the defending Stanley Cup champion, Vegas Golden Knights, a team that destroyed them. Well, then that's not fair. It was a competitive series, but they beat them and knocked them out last year.
I wouldn't want to play them.
I'll probably play Vegas all those games. And then
Vegas might beat out the Kings.
They could. Yeah. They could.
I'd a hell of a lot rather play the Kings than Vegas.
Okay. Say they do beat out the Kings, Edmonton and Vegas in the first round. I mean, these are ridiculous matchups. Yeah. Every matchup in this conference is a coin flip. Do not, if you're going to bet these games, don't look at the point totals of the regular season. Don't do it.
No.
These teams are the same. All eight of these teams can beat all eight of these teams on any given night.
Yeah.
I promise you that.
I think it's a situation, if you're going to be hockey or you're going to bet hockey, you might ought to wait a couple of games just to kind of see what's going on.
I'd fire right off the bat.
Oh, you would? Okay. All right. But
I would look.
And you bet it a lot more than I do, although I've been on a roll with it. But
yeah, you've been very good. Very sure. Hopefully that continues tonight. But
yeah, I hope so.
I would fire early and often because I think there's going to be upsets galore right off the bat. That's.
Are you worried a little bit that Nashville has cooled down some?
No.
I think they have some injuries, though, don't they?
Yeah, they're going to be fine. They started off so poor, and if they just would have started off decent, they would be one of the number one seeds.
That's true. I don't like the way Vegas is playing at all.
I think Vegas will give Dallas everything they want.
They might.
I don't know that they'll beat them. I think they'll give them everything they want.
Edmonton just dominated them last night.
Well, Edmonton is really a good team. That's another team. If they hadn't started off horrific, they would be the number one seed. So, and they still might. They have two less games in Vancouver right now. So,
yeah. Vancouver's struggling. They lost to Arizona last night.
Yeah. No, but listen, I think Vancouver's going down in the first round. I really do. I think the Nashville Predators will beat them.
Yeah.
I really do. I
really like Edmonton.
Oh, yeah.
They are dangerous.
The problem with Edmonton from a betting, just talking about betting when I say this, everybody, they want to bet them. So you rarely get a good price on Edmonton is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be heavy in terms of hockey in the playoffs. I think they'll be heavy favorites against the Kings most of those games.
Oh, I do too.
And so then now, you kind of got to go, well.
The team I think you like the most, or you did, which is Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way it's set up right now, they would play
Winnipeg.
Yeah, and I think they handle them.
I would be shocked if they lost to Winnipeg. Yeah.
Winnipeg may steal a game or two in Winnipeg, maybe.
Maybe.
But they've won a couple here lately, so they've kind of turned it around some.
Mm-hmm.
But Colorado is just so dangerous. And, but you know, they have a tendency to lose some games they shouldn't. But it's a little bit different in the playoffs.
Hey, they got beat by the Kraken last year, and that tells you everything about what can happen in the NHL playoffs. There's in no world ever should the Avalanche lose a series to the Kraken, but that happens. I get you're like, well, then maybe they just Colorado wasn't that good. No, they actually were. They just in a 7-game series and shit starts to happen and you get beat.
Hot goalie.
Yeah.
Your goalie's not playing well and you can't get the puck in the net and you just.
And that's, I'll say it again. When the NHL playoffs start, if you're betting a favorite in the NHL playoffs, you better love them. I mean, love them like American Pharoah in the Arkansas Derby type of love. Like, you better think they are far superior or you're making a mistake. You need to bet the underdogs in this stuff.
Anybody except whoever plays that 8 seed in the East, that, and even then, if let's say Pittsburgh wins their last 4 games, they'll be coming into the playoffs exactly like Florida did last year.
And you can beat the Rangers.
And and the thing about the Penguins, they have stars.
Yeah. I mean,
they've got stars.
If a team gets hot here in the last and wins a bunch in a row, I'm not saying they can beat the Rangers for a series, but you can steal a game or two against the Rangers at like plus 180. That's what I'm talking about. I remember game 2 of the Florida Boston series last year. Florida was plus 200. They had me on sharp money, and I said, I'm 1,000% taking Florida. I'm very confident in game 2. Yeah. And they looked at me like I had 4 heads. I said, this is a really good team who played really good in game 1 and a couple bounces didn't go their way. I said, playing Boston at minus 180 is insane. This is not a David versus Goliath. These are two very similar teams. And, you know, it worked out and they won. But still, the point of it is 1 versus 8 means all of nothing in this. Yeah. In this, that's, you get into basketball, 1 versus 8 means something. Here, it just doesn't.
Yeah, usually the first round of the NBA is 3-0. I think it's best of 5.
Yeah,
they wipe them out. So
yeah,
not in hockey.
Nope.
And even if it is 4-1, they're tough. Mm-hmm. They're tough to win. So
yep. All right. we got to get off here because we're going to go blinkers off next. It's coming up in 5 minutes, 8 minutes, I would imagine, but it's still coming up. 6 o'clock scheduled start time there for blinkers off. We'll talk Lexington. We'll talk Apple Blossom. We will talk Maker's Mark, and then we will also talk Kentucky Derby. So a lot going on with that one. We got to get off of here now. So no messing around. We got to leave.
I just want to mention one baseball team.
Yep. Go ahead. I'm all for it. Here we go. Baseball.
The Kansas City Royals.
They're playing great.
They slaughtered Houston again today.
Yep. Now, okay, before we get off here, go back and listen.
I know.
Four or five weeks ago, I said, I love the Royals this year. And
that's
you said, why I brought it up. And I said,
they
made a lot of sneaky, sneaky moves in the offseason.
Yeah. They are just knocking the cover off the ball. I think, of course, it's very, very early.
I want you to look at this.
7-game winning streak, 9 runs in the first inning.
I want you to look at this right here, this 3-game set I've got up with the Orioles, who I am way high on the Orioles.
Yeah, they're good.
Okay, yeah, Kansas City lost 2 out of 3. Okay. Look at the scores: 6-4, 4-1, 4-3. Every game was competitive. Like,
and they were all involved.
Bounce goes one way or the other. They could have won all three. You know, that shows you right there, though, they can compete with anybody. Kill the White Sox, kill the Astros, and then you got this tricky game coming up against the Mets in New York. They'll open up a set. The Mets look good after a terrible start. They went to Atlanta and looked great. So we'll see what happens with them. But yeah, the Royals are exciting right now. Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that because I know you were high on them.
Yeah, I love them. They look great. Yeah. The Dodgers obviously off to a good start. It's one of the the Yankees up at 10-3. Yankees, they're off to a nice start.
Yeah. And Pittsburgh's off to their normal April start, and then they skid.
You definitely pump the brakes on the Pirates. Yeah. I don't believe in them quite yet. Milwaukee's
solid.
Milwaukee looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So they may still be okay despite losing, a very good pitcher in Corbin Burns, who's pitching great for Baltimore, by the way. Yep. So, all right, we got to go. All right, guys, thanks for bringing that up. We will see you back here next week for more Dudes Who Bet Sports. And then you'll see me back here in about 5-10 minutes for Blinkers Off.
This is Dudes Who Bet Sports.